This is My Better Half on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Public radio fans will recognize the voice of my guest today. Renee Montaigne began freelancing for NPR in the 1980s, eventually co-hosting All Things Considered with Robert Siegel for 2 years and co-hosting Morning Edition with Steve Inskeep for 12 years. All in all, she spent over 4 decades at the network, with her work winning or being nominated for just about every important journalism award there is. It's worth noting that many of those accolades were earned when she was past 65, an age that used to be synonymous with retirement. In fact, in this 2013 interview with Iggy Pop, both Renee and he are in their mid-60s, and both of them would go on to receive even more critical acclaim.
Okay. It can't be said that there would be no punk rock without Iggy Pop, but Iggy Pop and the Stooges were there long before anyone else. With an explosive sound and screw you attitude that kicked in the punk era and influenced generations of musicians. Going on half a century later, the band is, incredibly, still making music with that same big punk rock sound. A sound you would have heard on the now classic 1970s albums Funhouse and Raw Power.
It's only now, at the age of 76, that Renee is unplugging her microphone. I had this conversation with her a couple of weeks after news of her retirement went public in January. Renee, you're leaving NPR after about 44 years. You joined them in 1981. I know you just made the announcement, but have you had a chance to reflect on what this work taught you, professionally or personally?
Yeah, it doesn't take much when you start trying to pack up. My packing up involves filing cabinets filled with stuff from like 1982. You know, I mean, I'm not a pack rat. But anything I thought was important, I saved and could because I had a space at NPR. So I have looked back quite a bit, which is not natural for me. I don't spend a lot of time reminiscing if it comes to that. But I have looked back and I haven't discovered anything so different than what I would have thought. But it's kind of been a pleasure. And in fact, I've got piles of stuff at my house now that I can have weeks more to go to start sorting through stuff. I'm actually really liking it. It's like seeing my own life before me in a good way, you know, like and having some surprises, maybe how many stories I did for starters. But, you know, you don't spend your time counting them up, but there's a lot.
Well, it's a good time to look back at some of the highlights from your time there. I thought I'd start with a clip from The Hidden World of Kandahar Girls. This originally aired in 2010, and it was rebroadcast in 2016, I believe, when you stepped down from Morning Edition.
This morning, we're off to Afghanistan for the latest in our series, The Hidden World of Girls, produced with our friends, the Kitchen Sisters. Follow me now down a street in Kandahar, through a tall iron gate, past a guard with a gun, and into a courtyard. Here, little girls let their bright veils slip, and young women throw off their burqas. They're laughing and chatting now that they're within the walls of a place that promises to set them free.
I like my school.
I love my school.
11-year-old Bilki slipped away from her English class. Pretty in a ponytail and red sweater threaded with silver, she wanted to tell us why, for her, learning is more precious than any possession.
It's very great that everybody have to be educated, because education is like a gold. When you get it, it will be always in your mind and you can profit from that. Never no one can steal it from your mind, education. We can do everything by education. It will shine your life.
Ah, yeah. So when I hear a charming little voice like that, saying such an important thing, I imagine she must be unforgettable for you. But then you interviewed people for about 40 years. So are there really standouts, or is your memory sort of crowded at this point?
Well, it could be, you know, somebody might have me remember in the sense of, what about that time in Kandahar? For, by the way, that was on a series that the Kitchen Sisters did on Morning Edition, right? And I want to give them credit because this is an amazing series about the hidden world of girls. But they asked me to do something and I did it. And no, I remember a lot. I just can't pull it out. You know, I mean, the minute I hear it or the minute I see it or when I have to think about it, I have one thing about what I do. If you go to Kandahar, well, I went there several times, but it's easier to remember things, I think, when your life isn't super smooth in the same place. You know, in fact, the stuff I forget is the last 5 or 6 years because I haven't gone anywhere. And when you go to, you know, Afghanistan or when you're sitting in the O.J. Simpson trial or when you're the memories can be very vivid and very specific to the time and place in a way that I don't think I'm pretty talented at remembering. But I sort of like I don't remember my childhood. But my father was a Marine, and we traveled around a fair amount. And then he was an engineer. We traveled some more. So I went to about 12 schools and about back and forth in different places. So I remember a lot more of not so much my childhood the way memoirists remember everything that happened to them. But I remember it because of where we were at the time, because each place was different.
Right.
So I think that makes a difference. Yeah, that young girl, by the way, I'll never forget her. We took pictures. And in the earlier part of my life, nobody took pictures of anybody. We didn't have cameras. We were radio. But by this trip, and boy, she's 11 years old, and she's like, you heard it, you know. Yeah. She's like, learning is gold.
Yes.
You know, knowing stuff is gold, she said. No one can steal it away once it's in your mind. This came out of the blue. She just came over to talk to us with her English. She was very excited about
it. I love
English.
It. And it sort of makes us grateful for our educations here in the West. If you're just joining us, this is My Better Half on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. My guest is Renee Montaigne, who has just announced her retirement from NPR after a 4-decade career there. Since we're talking about young girls, you know, we're running this interview in the My Better Half series, so I have to ask, you're retiring from NPR at the age of 76, and I was curious, when you were younger, could you have imagined wanting to work so long, and is it the norm now among your colleagues?
It's increasingly the norm, yes. Yes, absolutely. And why not?
Right.
Partly because we're journalists and, you know, just why not? Why go anywhere? At a point, many people of my generation at NPR have moved on. There's always a moment for various reasons, family, whatever. But yeah, because we've learned that it turns out that supposed dates of retiring don't work when you've got 25 more years or some such version of reality that's quite real. I have a long-lived family, so I could very easily have an entirely other life, and we're healthy for the most part. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody, but it means there is an ethos out there that allows for this sort of thing, no gold watch for us kind of thing. And for those who can do it, who have a profession or an identity or an art or just something they love doing, it's no reason to leave if you can stay on.
Absolutely. And especially when you're doing such great work. I want to play a clip from some of your later work that turned out to be very influential. This piece is from 2017. It's called Lost Mothers, and it was a collaboration with ProPublica.
This is the story of Lauren Bloomstein. We heard it one rainy day in the New Jersey home of Larry Bloomstein, looking onto a child's playroom filled with princess dresses and a big plush unicorn.
Come here.
Hi, cutie.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question for you. Where did you get these beautiful green eyes?
Mommy Lauren.
Mommy Lauren, yeah.
Haley knows Lauren through stories and photographs. A favorite of Larry's shows Lauren, slender and tan, standing in the foam of a pale blue sea with a barely swelling belly.
Lauren loved the beach.
Etched in the sand is the name Haley.
So Renee, this piece about mother mortality not only won awards, it changed public policy. Lawmakers cited your findings when drafting new legislation. How does it feel to have these kinds of things as part of your legacy now?
Well, that one feels pretty good,
yeah.
Actually. And not usual for me. To the degree I have a legacy, it's more like a storytelling legacy, or being in these important places that are will turn out to be historical events. But when it came to that, I partnered with Nina Martin, mm-hmm. a brilliant investigative journalist from ProPublica, and the two of us were like joined at the hip, you know, two girls, a couple, you know what I mean, two gals out on a story. And it was very, to have that made a difference. No, you know, there, the fact that people started talking about something that was out there, but just nobody noticed. It was investigative, but it was also just about taking stuff that immaterial and knowledge and actually putting it to use, telling the story. Right. To this day, as you ask, thank you for asking. I do feel warm and a little proud, actually, about that whole series that we did on. And just to make sure for people who wouldn't know, besides the clip, it was that American women were dying at much higher rates, especially Black women. Of any other, all the, you know, Western countries and Japan and, you know, all the countries that should, you know, be able, because they have the money and the, you know, the healthcare available, that we shouldn't be like three times more likely for a woman to die in this country. So that was the basic premise. And then the stories just unfolded from that.
Now, I understand you don't have a concrete plan for what's next, and I'm curious what that feels like after all this time to be sort of looking at a blank slate, if it is, for the future.
It is. It's interesting. It's amazingly a blank slate can be interesting. Yeah, I have a beautiful house, and I have a lot of stuff I want to do literally around that. That'll last a minute or two. But I one of the things is feeling... when you're really committed, and I am really committed to NPR, it's, you know, I really, really managed to pull off this off to it's the right time. So there's no, it's not bittersweet or anything. Mm-hmm. So I really have a strong feeling that there's something there that I could never have figured out had I, pushed it for another year or two, something like that. You know, it just seems right. There are various things. People talk about memoirs and people talk about telling my stories. And there are various things to put to me as possibilities. So I'm sure I know something will happen. But it is odd now that you say. I mean, it's different to just wake up and there's no office to go to, you know, or nobody to check in with, which has been my entire life.
Right.
Since I was about 24. Yeah. So, but it's good. It's good. It's positive. And timing is everything.
Absolutely. Didn't mean to cut you off there. Just last question. If you could go back and tell yourself something at the start of your broadcast career, what would it be?
It could be just what happened. Just persevere. Hmm. Have fun. Do what you want to do. And don't let too many weeks go by if you ever hit a moment where you're looking around going, why? Which never happened to me. I mean, to the degree it did, I stayed in journalism, but always be sort of loving what it is you're doing more or less at that time. Okay. A few little down things, but really always, and if that changes, you change. And within journalism and NPR, I was very, very lucky to be able to make changes within a very warm family-like, because NPR is like family, you know, situation. But I would have told myself that, but that, as a matter of fact, was what happened.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for all your great work over the years. We'll miss hearing you on air, and I wish you the best of luck in your new chapter.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Vanessa Finney, and I've been talking with longtime NPR reporter and host Renee Montaigne about her storied career and her plans for the future. You can hear more episodes of My Better Half at jeffexchange.org and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, including the NPR app.